Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate podcast with Clayton Morris. This is the show where we focus on buy and hold real estate. Why do we do it? We do it for the purposes of creating passive income and legacy wealth for you and your family. If you're interested in finding your freedom number, come over to our website at morrisinvest.com/freedom and download your free financial freedom cheat sheet today.
How to use a home equity line of credit or a HELOC for real estate investing. That's today's live stream. Let's dive into it. Hey everyone, I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris. Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Here's the camera.
I'm looking at the camera.
No, I think you're just looking at me. Just can't.
I can't stop myself.
All right, loudly enough. Okay, so today we're going to talk about how to use a HELOC for real estate investing. And this comes on the heels of us writing our book. So tell everyone about this. So this is a brand new book that we just wrote.
Right. We have a Kindle book in the Amazon store. You can also buy it in paperback, but only on Amazon. And it's called How to Pay Off Your Mortgage in 5 Years, or isn't it 5 Years or Less? What's
five
the name of our book?
It's 5 Years or Less. Don't hit that.
I won't hit that. Stop telling me what to do. I'm going to.
She likes
this
to.
This is the live
so
show.
This
where
is what
Clayton
I love.
Tells me what to do,
so
and
I'm like,
I kick him under the table.
We're live at 11:30 Eastern time, and it's literally 11:29. And I'm like, Natalie, are you going to join us on the live
right.
stream?
Okay.
She's like, I'm working up here, so she's in her office doing work and going over spreadsheets and stuff. I'm like,
my
we
spreadsheets
gotta go.
Are important to me. And he's like, did you draw my shirt? And I'm like, get out of here! I'll be on your live stream. Okay, so. What were we talking about besides how we're
HELOC.
Irritating each other?
So we've gotten a lot. So we published the, and thanks to all of you who are watching live right now on our YouTube channel. This is also going out as a podcast. So additionally, so thanks to everyone. We're going to answer your questions about the HELOC strategy, how to use your HELOC for real estate investing, how to use it to pay off your primary mortgage in under 5 years, that whole strategy that we talk about in our brand new book, which is called How to Pay Off Your Mortgage in 5 Years, using a strategy that the bank doesn't want you to know. We'll post a link to the book in this chat thread as well, so you guys can click on it in the Amazon store.
Or you can just search either of our names right now in Amazon. You'll find it. It'll come up lickety-split.
Yeah.
Because we're broadcasting. We're not typing to you right now.
We want to be able to focus on talking to you guys right now. So we won't be able to drop that in there. But we're going to answer some questions because over the past week and a half to 2 weeks since we published the book, we've gotten a lot of different questions from investors who say, you know, can I use this for real estate investing? Can I do X, Y, and Z strategy and also invest in real estate while I'm paying off my primary mortgage using this strategy? So there's a lot of different pieces to this that we wanted to try to answer today.
Right.
Have you gotten a lot of emails?
I think most people realize that it's not a one-size-all strategy. It's a strategy that we're trying to teach people how to better evaluate the products that they have in their house, like their home equity line of credit or their mortgage or their car loan, or just, you know, we break down what goes into all of these various types of loans and how to use the equity that you have or other cash that you may have in order to better evaluate how to pay down the debt that you've got. So a lot of times people say to me, this may work for me, but I'm going to tweak it this way, or this may work for me, but I want to tweak it that way, or can I do this instead? And so I think what people really understand about the book is, yes, it's a great way to pay down your mortgage and live debt-free, but it also is a way to teach yourself to revamp your finances so that they sort of fit you and your family better and to make bigger goals, right?
Right. It's, yeah, to understand how these financial products work is so important, so you know what's buried in them. You and I were having a discussion this morning while I was on the show, and we were texting about wanting to acquire more rental properties, and should we think about doing some leverage mm-hmm. in the future and picking up like a package of 10 properties? And
right.
And what did you say back to me?
Well, okay, you had texted me this article about how you should refinance your house until you die. It was called Refi Till You Die. So you pull out your equity just like as a big chunk and then get a new loan on a new amount of money on. So basically a refinance is different than a home equity line of credit. And I said, well, you know, this is actually what they teach in real estate school. You should only refinance your house if you intend to stay in that house long enough to recover the closing costs. Because if we were to get, should I use real numbers on our house or should we make up
numbers? No, you make up numbers.
Okay. So
they're round.
Okay. So let's say we owe $500,000 on this house and we decide, but the house is worth $700,000, right? So we have $200,000 in equity and we want to refinance so that we can pull out that equity. Well, then we're going to have a new loan because our original loan may have been a different amount. So now we're going to have a new loan for $500,000. But we're going to add to that closing costs. And average closing costs on a loan like that are going to be around $16,000. And so let's say for purposes of rounding, $1,500,000, right? So then why would I take what I have now is a loan with a balance of $500,000 and say, well, I got a lower monthly payment, but now I owe $515,000. I don't want to do that because I want to pay down that loan as fast as possible. Just because now the monthly payment is lower does not make me feel better about having a more expensive product, right?
Right.
So I understand that you wanted some quick cash, you want a lower payment, right? You want a lower interest rate. If we stay in this house for, say, another 30 years and our monthly payment is, let's say, $1,000 lower, then in 16 months, we recover that, right? That's fine. So, but we do have $16,000 more on the line that we're going to have to pay off. I don't want that, right? I want to pay that down. And we're trying to knock this out like, you know, hook, line, and sinker. And so why would we add to the value of our loan in order to invest in real estate? It didn't make sense to me because we're going so aggressively against this loan. But I understand the idea of taking your equity out of your home in order to use that money in a different way. That makes sense to me.
Right. I mean, our strategy lately is we want to just pay off as much debt as possible. Mm-hmm. That's our goal, is to get out of debt as quickly as possible with our primary mortgage. And we've done this repeatedly. Right. We've done this on our secondary home. We've used this strategy to pay off your primary mortgage or pay off a secondary home with using a HELOC strategy. Right. And so the reason
we want to get rid of as much personal debt as possible.
Right.
We don't want car loans. We don't want home loans. We don't want student loans. We're okay with portfolio loans where it's actually building our real estate business. Business loans, we're good on. Of course, we're going to evaluate them to get the best one we want. We want to leverage in order to build our business, not leverage in order to build our personal debt.
So guys, go ahead and throw some questions here in the chat and ask away your questions around using a HELOC strategy to pay down your primary mortgage. Now, I know over the past week or so, we've gotten a lot of questions around that. I'll kick it off with one question that I know we've received, and I think it would be really beneficial.
And I got one on my blog last night too. I got one in the queue.
Okay, good. So let's start with this one, which is, can you pay off your primary mortgage using the HELOC strategy and simultaneously invest in real estate? So first of all, we should go through a couple of layers of this, right? Our HELOC strategy teaches you how to get a HELOC, which is a home equity line of credit, and then to use that like a bank account to pay off your primary mortgage, okay? So you're trading simple interest, which is the HELOC, for amortized interest. And save your question. So is it difficult to get a HELOC on an investment property? We'll tackle that.
Okay.
Great. So we'll go through this first one first. So you're taking your HELOC to pay back your primary mortgage. Of course, that's all in the book. We walk you through step by step how to do it. We won't go into all of those details today. This is more of a Q&A on how it works and the context of it. So can you, let's say you got a $50,000 HELOC to work with. you frankly only need to use like five, maybe even $10,000 of that to pay back the primary mortgage, right? You don't have to use very much. This strategy can work by just using a small piece of that. For instance, who's the gentleman that we talked about? He, remember?
Carroll.
Adam Carroll. I think he discontinued his podcast, but we became friends with Adam. And I think I interviewed him a number of years ago on my old podcast. He used this HELOC strategy also. And that's how we kind of hit it off, actually, because his HELOC was only $5,000. He was able to use that to target to his principal payment of his primary mortgage. $5,000, that's a small HELOC.
Yeah.
So in that situation, it's going to be difficult for you to use that HELOC and also buy investment properties with it. You only have $5,000 to work with. But let's say you have $50,000 to work with. You may take $5,000 or $10,000 and put that towards a primary mortgage. You may use the additional $40,000 to pay, you know, buy an investment property. For instance, like our company, Morris Invest, our properties cost between $40,000 and $45,000. That's usually like the sweet spot for our properties. So the all-in total after rehab is about that much. So we use our HELOC to buy investment properties all the time. Mm-hmm. I think we had about a $90,000 HELOC to use. So we used some of it to target our primary mortgage. We used some of it to buy investment properties. And then, of course, you're using the money from those tenants to pay that back as quickly as possible, putting all of that additional cash flow right towards paying it back. So, yes you can use it.
But we had an email this week from a man named Brian who said, well, I use my rents to pay back my HELOC. But you have to be careful about that because the rents are coming into your business account and your home equity line of credit is a personal account. So if you take money from your business checking account and pay down your home equity line of credit, you have essentially issued yourself a check or paid yourself. That's like a draw from your business. So it will be taxed as a draw. So usually, and we've gone over this, there's a podcast somewhere deep in our archives about how we got a new HELOC and we thought, oh, you know, what do we do with this money now? And we decided, should we purchase or should we pay down this mortgage? And we worked out the money in real time. And so, yes, we split some to the mortgage and some to the investment. And the way we worked it out was we knew the investment. We felt fairly confident that the investment would make 12, 13% interest. But we knew that we were going to pay interest on the HELOC at 3% at the time. I think that one had already adjusted. So we're like, yeah, that's easy. We make the money here, we pay back that HELOC. But again, you have to take your tax strategy into account and speak with your tax accountant about what that means.
So we just got one question here, which was, should you use your HELOC to use it as a down payment on an apartment building or use it to buy something else, buy another investment property?
You just evaluate the deal.
Yeah, you gotta evaluate the numbers. I mean, frankly, it all comes down to ROI. And again, we talk about the best properties are probably not in your own backyard. People think that they are. So you live in a certain city and you think, oh, this apartment complex is down the street from me. Well, it might not be really good ROI. Remember, we've got tons of videos right here on this YouTube channel and on our podcast, the Investing in Real Estate podcast, where we talk about ROI, how to figure out those numbers and evaluate the deal. And it's a pretty simple formula, right? You want to evaluate the ROI. And then if the numbers work for you, then, you know, make the purchase, you know, take the plunge and get started. You can get into analysis paralysis mode and take 5 years to get started. And I talked to a guy the other day. He said he has a friend who's an engineer and he's taken like 4.5 years of just doing research. In that 4.5 years that he's been doing research, he could have achieved financial freedom already. I have some people that we talk to who in 3 years have been able to hit their freedom number. So don't waste 4.5 years of your life sitting back doing deals and analyzing numbers.
Yeah.
All right. So you had a question and set up a little. So
okay. Let's see. The question that came into my blog, I had linked to an article that I wrote about this a long time ago, was how do we, what was the question? How do you choose your home equity line of credit? Because you can do interest only, you can do 15 years, 30 years. What's the best What's the best way to choose that product? Now, most of the time, we don't suggest that you stick with this home equity line of credit for 30 years. You don't ever intend to have that debt for 30 years. You want to pay it back up in the span of 1 or 2 years, right? So you're going to choose the one with the lowest interest, and then you're paying more on that product, right? How do you explain that?
Well, first of all, HELOCs are typically only 10 years in length anyway.
You could get a 15-year. I think we had a 15-year one.
There's a 10 or a 15. They're usually not very long.
Yeah.
So you're not going to have much of a choice in that. And really, it comes down to what are the rates? Shop around. Don't, you know, we talk about in the book, there's a whole chapter called Shop Local, because, you know, you can go and find local properties or local HELOCs at local banks. Some might have a 1.9% interest for the first year. Some might have a lock-in rate that's longer, and you're going to get, you know, a better rate. So just shop around and find out what the rates, you know, work for you and make sense for you. Because after a year, if it's going to adjust, so you get this adjustable rate mortgage, it's going to adjust. You got to have a strategy in place to know that after that first year, you want to use as much of it as you can and pay back as much of it as you can in order to target your primary mortgage so that you're not suddenly caught with your pants down and that rate jumps up to 5.5% or something.
Right.
Now you're suddenly paying a lot in interest that you didn't anticipate.
Yeah. So you're going to have to evaluate the monthly, how much you're paying per month. And, you know, I like to choose an interest only because we're exceeding that in the amount that we're paying back. So say the interest only on $20,000 HELOC is $70 a month, but we're putting our whole paycheck in, and we talk about this in the book. So we're paying over and above into the principal amount of that loan. So it's almost kind of a non-issue, right?
Right. Hope we answered that question. Tim writes us, Tim here in the chat says, can you loan money from your HELOC to your location to buy the rental and then have the LLC pay back the loan to yourself?
And that sort of goes along with what we had just talked about. You absolutely can do that because say, okay, let's use real numbers. You took $20,000 as a home equity line of credit and you already had $20,000 somewhere else and you bought a single family home, right? So now you're making, so say $20,000, your home equity line of credit payment on that is about $75 a month. Okay. But that property now is making $500, $600 a month. You definitely can take that money and pay it back to the HELOC. But again, you're taking money from a business account into a personal account, and that will be taxed as a draw. Our podcast we did just this week was about how to appropriately navigate your banking accounts between your personal and your business accounts. So hopefully you listened to that one that just came out this Wednesday, July 19th or something like that.
But if you're not a listener of our podcast, it's called the Investing in Real Estate Podcast. And it is, the episode was called how to set up and use your,
or
how to choose and use your business
bank accounts.
Yes. How to choose and use your big business bank accounts. Okay. Candace asked this question. Candace Neal said this. How long after purchasing can you apply for a HELOC? I'm purchasing soon, her primary residence, but already wanting to use this wonderful strategy. Well, it depends, Candace, but some banks will actually let you simultaneously get a HELOC if you're purchasing. For instance, when we purchased this house, which we're broadcasting from right now, we bought this house and the bank offered us a lower rate if we also got a simultaneous HELOC with it. So let's just say for round numbers, we bought this house for $300,000 and they offered us a $50,000 HELOC simultaneously, so $350,000, right? We got a lower rate on our primary mortgage because we got a HELOC simultaneously, because they were able to give us two bank products.
But the HELOC was maxed out. They gave us the HELOC for $50,000 and used that for the purchase of this home.
It was fully maxed out, right.
So it's not like they gave us a $50,000
with a zero
credit
balance,
right. So we had to simultaneously pay down both. So that's one option that you can get it when you close. The reason they did it for us is because we only qualified for so much in that first home mortgage, and then we needed the extra to make up the purchase price. But, you know, you are eligible for a home equity line of credit as soon as you close based on your equity. It's just based on how much you actually have in equity. So if you've closed on a home that's $200,000, you have now $150,000 loan on that property, but you have $50,000 in equity that you already gave to the bank. That's $50,000 in equity. The bank will say, well, now we'll loan you on that. It's just a matter of finding a bank that trusts you. If you have good credit and you have that equity and you have a good relationship with the bank, or maybe you're introducing yourself to a new bank and they trust you, there you go. You also have to have a low debt to income ratio, which we talk about in the book as well.
Somebody's writing, REI3 is asking, he says, you know, waiting 4.5 years is nothing. Grant Cardone analyzed deals and waited 10 years to buy his first deal. That's way too long.
Who's that?
Grant Cardone, you know, come on. He wrote, the author of the 10X rule, the 10X book. So one of my friends was with him last week, Grant, and he definitely regretted not getting into real estate investing earlier. That's great that he was able to save up all that money and then buy a big apartment complex. But waiting 5 years in order to build passive income and adding to your net worth when there's deals out there currently right now, why do you need to wait 4.5 years? It should take you an afternoon to analyze a deal, right?
Well, if you think about it, I mean, they make this argument on the stock market all the time. If you put your money in a savings account that makes 1%, right, is a really good savings account is right. 1.9%, maybe a CD at that rate, then you're actually losing money by the time you retire. When you adjust for inflation, what you need now to live is going to be inflated by 4%. And if you've only ever made 1%, you're at a deficit of 3%. So you're losing money. And if you think you can do even better than that in real estate, if you think that even conservatively you can do 11% and you haven't done it, you've lost 10% in your money. You cannot afford to lose, because again, by the time we all retire, if we take an average retirement age of 20 years from now, right, 15 years from now, we are going to need at least 4 or 5% more.
Right. And the argument too that, oh, well, you know, in the bank account, the 401k, you know, oh, it's bounced back, right? We had this big crash in 2008 and everyone's like, well, yeah, but I, you know, now my 401k is bounced back. Yes, but you've now lost a decade.
Right.
It took 10 years for it to bounce back to where it was pre-recession.
And you did not make more than 3%. It's right. Just back to where it was, right?
And so there are so many different ways to invest in real estate. Yes, if you save up $30,000, $40,000 and you buy a rental property, great. That's one way to do it. We've definitely done that. A lot of our investors have done that. Maybe you leverage and you buy 5 properties at once and you have $50,000 in the bank and you buy three properties at one time. You don't have to wait like Grant Cardone for 5 years in order to buy a $1 million apartment complex. You could go out right now with no money, find equity partners and purchase an apartment complex. It doesn't take 5 years to do it. But I love Grant Cardone. He definitely, though, regrets not getting involved in real estate earlier. I know that to be true, actually. All right, we had a bunch of other questions here. Let's pull them up.
The most recent one was about getting a portfolio loan. Shall we?
Yeah, Elias. I hope we're saying that right. Elias Lilius. Can you talk about portfolio loans? Sorry.
Try it again. Clayton, you read a teleprompter for a living.
Elias. Okay. Can you talk about portfolio loans and can they apply against multiple LLCs? Do you want to take that one?
Okay. Let me think about the second part. Can you use this for a portfolio loan? Yes, you absolutely can. And the way that you would do this is you would open a new LLC for that portfolio loan. And most portfolio lenders require you, most of them require you to take a portfolio loan in an LLC. And they're fine with the fact that it's a new one. They want some kind of like record of good standing for your LLC, but you can show them your articles of your filing articles and your EIN number and that kind of thing. And then if you have already had an LLC that you've been investing in, you'll show them the paperwork for that so that they know that you're kind of an upstanding business person. and then you acquire, say, in our portfolio loan, we had 8 properties. We had requested 10, and then they sent out an appraiser, and they're like, well, we don't want a loan on these 2. So they took those 2 out of the batch, and we said, that's fine. I think we bought those 2 on our own, actually, because we're like, well, screw you. So we'll just own those 2 otherwise. And then we kept the loan on the 8.
Right. Yeah, you know, the thing with portfolio loans is if you have them in an LLC, which a lot of private financing portfolio lenders want you to buy it in a business entity, you cannot buy it in your own name. And they have thresholds, right? So it might be, when we were working with this one company, their threshold was a minimum of $45,000 in value.
That means the house had to appraise for that much.
Right. But then a few weeks later, they changed their threshold to $60,000. And then sometimes they bump it up to $70,000. Remember, private financers or private institutional financers are hedge funds. That's all they are. Mm-hmm. They're not governed by Fannie and Freddie Mac. You know, they are not governed by the typical rule, the SEC rules that you would normally find. So they are a private hedge fund. They can change their rules every week. We'll get emails from different private institutional lenders that we've worked with. And every week they'll send out an email like, here's the new programs we're offering. Your local bank doesn't do that.
Right.
They're governed by certain laws under the federal government. Totally different when it comes to private financing.
And I'm, you know, a lot of times I read these and I'm like, I want to put my money in that. Because then if you had a savings account, right, and be like, okay, yeah, I'll lend someone, you know, at 7% for 2-year balloon note, please. You know, that's it's good. It's a good deal for them and it's a good deal for you. So, okay. But can you then get one in an LLC and use your home equity line of credit? You can, because
you're a partner in your LLC.
Right. So you can take that money and put it into the portfolio as a down payment. You absolutely can do that.
We got another great question here from, well, REI 31RTH. What's your real name, by the way? I love real names. Anyway, he says, I've had big time flippers urge me to take a 1% or 2% HELOC and lend them money for flips at 10 or 12%. Thoughts on this strategy? Yes.
I'd do that.
You can absolutely do this because...
I mean, you got to trust that flipper. Right.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, yes, you do obviously want to analyze the deal and make sure that the person that you're lending the money to knows what they're doing and maybe has a track record of other flips. But you want to take primary first position on that money, right? You don't want to be like the 5th or 6th position on that flip. What does that mean? That means that, you know, you as a primary lien holder. So, for instance, let's say this guy he bought a property. He's going to flip it. You're lending him money on it. You want to make sure that you're on that note, because what happens if he runs to Argentina and doesn't finish the flip? You get the property. You're able to foreclose on that property, and now that flip is yours. Now, whether or not you want it or not, but at least you have the asset. So I know flippers here in New Jersey that's exactly what they do. They will be the primary lien holder. They will take possession of that property if, in fact, there ends a foreclosure. But yes, you can use your HELOC to lend money. Yeah. It doesn't even have to be for flippers.
You can use your HELOC for whatever. We talk about in the book, you pay down a 17% interest on a credit card, pay down a 5% car loan, pay down whatever. But this, you know, speaks to the point. You wouldn't just go and give them that, write them a check out of your home equity line of credit. You want to get this properly notated. You want to actually file that note with the county, right?
So you are the mortgage holder on that property. And then once that property is sold and they flip it, you get your money back, or however you've structured it with them, right? You can have draws set up at certain points. The thing with doing private money is you can do it however you want. We've lent private money to different investors, 5-year notes at 8% interest, 7% interest, 6% interest. And I think we pay 2% interest on that note, you know, on our own money. So then there's like a 4 or 5% interest, you know, in profit on that. So absolutely, it's a great strategy. Did you see some other questions?
Yeah, someone just said, I called the bank and I can't get a loan through a newly formed LLC. Well, yes, no, the bank will not lend to your LLC. They want to be able to come after you personally, because the LLC is only, think of it this way. If me, the bank, gives you a loan in an LLC, they can only then come after you if you stop paying for what's in that LLC. You could have next to nothing in the LLC. They can't then seize your other assets. Banks won't do this. These are what we call hard money lenders, or private lenders
that we're talking about.
Yeah. So these are
private institutional,
different companies. It's like some of the companies we've worked with our
Lima One
Lima
Capital.
Lima One is one of ours.
Lima One Capital.
Wonder Capital with a W-U, right?
Yeah. Another one is Visio Lending, V-I-S-I-O, Lima One Capital. These are all private institutional lenders. So if you, just for your own education, go to their websites, go to Lima One Capital with an A.com and just see what kind of programs they offer on there. You can see what some of their different 30-year rental properties, fix and flip programs that they have. They require you to buy the property in an LLC. Your local bank, your local Wells Fargo, your local Lakeland Bank, your local, you know, M&T
Bank,
Chase, they will not. You've got to buy these properties, and you can buy up to 10 of them in your own name. They require you to buy it in your own name. That's the law. You can only buy 10 in your own name, but there may be some movement under the Trump administration to make it up to about 20
right.
To do that. So I think we had some other questions here. Yep, we're in New Jersey. You're in Fairlawn. Who could structure the note deal? I. Edwards asks that when we're talking about you. You know, that's very simple. You can actually work with a local title company. Title companies will structure it for you. It's very, very simple. Our title company in Indiana will structure it.
They'll file it with the county for like $50. So they'll say like, oh, it'll cost you $75 for me to...
They'll draw it up.
...to drop this note. And they'll give you a worksheet. You'll say, I want it for... Yeah, it's. I mean, it's as simple as that. Or you can make it yourself on like a... We use LegalZoom or Legal Shield or any of those. You could just make it yourself and say, please file this with me for me with the county. Now, you could do it yourself. I wouldn't. Like, draw it up, have it signed, have it notarized, and then march it down to the county. I'm not very comfortable with that. I'd rather have the experts.
So we've got a couple of questions here on HELOC. Someone asked, can I ask another question that's not HELOC related? Yeah, we'll get to those non-HELOC related questions in a moment. But let me read these questions here. Kalila Fiddler says, have you ever heard of companies out there such as Replace Your Mortgage who talk about getting a HELOC loan and replacing that as your mortgage? What are your thoughts on that? Yes, I have. I've worked with them in the past. I know them. They offer a great program because what they'll do is they'll help you structure everything and set it up and hold you accountable for paying off your mortgage more quickly. So some of those programs do work really well. Replace Your Mortgage. There's another one called Truth and Equity. Those are probably the biggest two that you'll probably hear of. Kushal writes, the interest rate on my HELOC is higher than my principal mortgage interest. Does it still make sense to use the HELOC to pay down the mortgage? I've used my HELOC to buy turnkey rentals in the past. Kushal, let's answer that question.
Yeah.
So what kind of interest rate is the difference? I mean, because remember, it's two types of interest. So you're looking at simple interest with your HELOC versus amortized interest with your primary mortgage. So simple interest, if you're making small payments towards your HELOC per month, not just once, not just one payment to your HELOC, but like once a week using our strategy, which uses your direct deposit from your employer or your work going in there, it kind of keeps that interest rate from really accruing very much in your HELOC versus your amortized principal mortgage. So yes, if you can't get that introductory rate of 1.9% and you're paying 4%, it's not as attractive. However, it still works.
Right. Yeah. I think you have to shop around for a good HELOC, first of all. If all you can get is 4%, this is not the product for you.
Well, it looks like they've had it for years. Kushal says they've had their HELOC for a while because they've used it for, now it might be time to go shop around for a new one.
Right.
So maybe work on paying it off. Or shop around for, go to your local banks. And I'm telling you, there's so many great options right now at local banks. And not even local banks, like Bank of America as a local branch or Wells Fargo.
Yeah.
They actually...
I mean, they're incented to act like a local bank, even though it's a larger branch. They want your business in their branch. They have, you know, lots of reasons why. For instance, there was like a festival in town that I went to with my daughter. And there was... like a bank, one of the very small local banks had a tent out there and they were giving out ice cream to the kids and little tiny frisbees. And the guy was like, oh, I'd love to learn about what your bank products are now and see if we could get them in. And I was like, oh, well, I'd love to see how you're going to incent me to do that. You know,
right, cause we,
so especially those festivals, they're like ripe for that kind of stuff. Because if they're going to look at your products and say, we want them in-house, we'll give you a cut of interest. do it.
Right. Rajiv writes, how do you guys recommend paying back the HELOC? Do I use the rental cash flow income to pay it back? Well, Rajiv, please read our book, and the link it should be in this chat thread on Amazon, how to pay off your primary mortgage using in under 5 years. That's the name of our book. Because we teach you step by step how to set up your direct deposit from your employer to pay it back. Mm-hmm. Because the extra dollars that sit in that account act as a mechanism of paying it back more quickly. And then also using additional cash flow payments from your tenants to put into that account, also a great strategy.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly right.
Funnel all of your cash towards it to pay it back quickly. You're going to pay this thing off immediately.
And then we talk about in the book now, because you're putting your paycheck in that HELOC, then every dollar you don't spend on
gum.
Yeah, gum.
It's true.
Right. Is a way that you pay this back, right?
Someone asks, is there an audiobook version of it? No, you know, we should do that on Audible. There's not, we don't have an audiobook version of the book just yet, but we do have the paperback version and the Kindle version. Yeah. So, and it's a short read. You should be able to read it in a night, you know?
Right.
Okay, Trebor writes, laid off from a job of 17 years. Bank is reluctant to give me a HELOC. I own a 65K rental property, free and clear, and 80K equity in my primary residence. Will a bank ever give me a HELOC if I show the plan to buy cash flow properties?
Yes, it should. Banks will want 2 years of stated income, though. So if your LLC is paying you on a regular basis, you should have stated income. And so, again, it's based on all kinds of other things like your credit history and your credit score. But you should be able – that's why it's important to be paying yourself out of an LLC, because if you lose your day job, you still have stated income out of your own company. You know, when I first left CBS and I was freelancing, I couldn't qualify for all kinds of loans even though I was still making money, because I was taking money into my own – I was taking money for these freelance jobs on my social security number instead of on my LLC. And if I had done it on my LLC and then paid myself out of the LLC, I would have had 2 years of stated income. So that's another reason why to be paying yourself regularly out of your LLC.
And so I. Edwards writes this. He says, by the way, an amortized mortgage tip, the total interest paid ends up being about 60 to 70% interest on a mortgage.
Think
about that. So you got a primary mortgage, you're paying it back. You maybe get like a $300,000 mortgage, you're probably going to end up paying over $630,000 for the house once all is said and done.
Yeah.
That's why this strategy using the simple interest of a HELOC is way, way smarter than just waiting the 30 years to do that.
Right. You know, there's so many ways through our brands, either on my website or Morris & Best or through the book, we give out so many different amortization schedules, just spreadsheets you can download. But you know what? You don't even need that. That if you go to Excel and, you know, Excel lets you create your own amortization schedule, do that, or go to Bankrate. Just do that so that you see the total of what you've agreed to pay for your house. And this will motivate you to find a different way to pay it down.
Acoustic Silk says, darn, look like I missed what a HELOC is. Well, actually, we never even really talked about that on today's show. We talk about that in the book, but a HELOC is a home equity line of credit. HELOC, H-E-L-O-C. There are two types, right? There's a home equity line of credit, and there's a home equity loan. You don't want the loan, because the loan is when a bank just writes you a check for $40,000 and you're done.
And it starts accruing interest
immediately,
right away.
So you're getting like a $40,000 balance immediately. A HELOC, that you start with a zero balance, and it's like a credit card. They'll give you like bank checks. They'll give you probably even a debit card for it. You start with a zero balance, and you only are paying interest on what you use. So that's why a HELOC, and it's open for like 10 years, 10, 15 years. You have that revolving line of credit that you can use. So that's the difference between the two. Let me see what other, Pound it.
I will.
Any other questions that you saw that came
in? I'm getting long-winded here. I need some water.
Hulk Hogan WWF. Wow. Hulk Hogan is in our chat today. Thank you so much, Hulk. He says, non-HELOC question. Would you rather use the BRRRR method on your own on your first duplex versus a joint venture on two duplexes and leave the equity in? So, you know, the buy, rehab, refinance, repeat is the Burr method. And I've got a whole video here on the channel on the Burr method and understanding that a little bit, or having equity partners. So look, the bottom line is having equity partners or private money partners is always going to accelerate your rate of acquisition, right? Because you're not having to really use any of your own money. But having said that, it's incredibly difficult to find equity partners. I mean, you've got to really put in the time and develop those relationships and go to your local RIA meetings and establish a track record of that you know what you're talking about with your investments. Or you could do it yourself. I mean, and get bank financing or pull some private financing together or your own savings or leverage your 401k to buy rental properties and then rehab the property, refinance it, go buy your second one. So yes, equity partners, always a killer strategy. You've got to though put in the homework and the time and build those relationships, build up a strategy and target the areas you want to invest in order to make those equity partners happy. Because remember, you're going to be doing all the work. Equity partners are just going to be putting up the money and they expect you to perform and make sure that you're getting great returns. Mm-hmm. Michael Johnson says, hello, Mr. and Mrs. Morris. Hello, Michael. Okay. Acoustic Silk says, if I'm buying a duplex and living in a unit, can I put unit B under an LLC to rent it, or does the whole duplex have to be in my name? If you buy it, you can buy it as an LLC. You can buy a property. Garrett Sutton has a book called The Loopholes of Real Estate. And yes, you can absolutely buy rental properties yourself in an LLC, and you could rent out a portion of it. It's called house hacking. It's kind of like the term house hacking. You're buying a duplex, you live in one half, you're renting the other half, and it covers your primary mortgage, the total cost. It's called house hacking. But yes, you can buy it in an LLC. I would read Garrett Sutton. He is Robert Kiyosaki's attorney. He's written a book called The Loopholes of Real Estate. So that's a good one there. Any other questions you want to get to? Last one? Last question?
No, I think we're good. But again, you can, you know, if you read the book, hopefully you'll have some other detailed questions because the book is very detailed. And hopefully, you know, you can always write to us. But again, we should put this disclaimer out here that we're not accredited financial advisors. We're just people who decided in our home to build our own real estate portfolio so that we could continue to have passive income. And that's how we sort of freed ourselves from the daily grind. And we opened this YouTube channel. We wrote the book. We do our own writing so that we can empower other families to do the same. But all of this stuff, it should just be like a spark to a flame that you then take to your advisors and your great team. And we'll have Robert Kiyosaki on the show here talking about how important it is to have the right team. And, you know, we want to be in the spectrum of your team, sort of your motivators, your like that little push that gets you to learn something else, but we can't file your taxes for you and we can't open your LLCs or tell you what to do. You know, we're just going to help push you in that right direction. And hopefully you have a super awesome team to help you execute.
Thank you so much, everyone. Top Agent Ken says, Morris Invest, I've been following you guys for 8 years now and I love your classes. I own 44 units now. What are your tips that you should tell new investors planning on getting into real estate for the first time? Just make sure your ROI makes sense. Make sure the return on investment makes sense. And if the deal numbers stack up, great. Take the plunge. Even if you're 80% sure, you're never going to be 100% sure of anything in your life. So take the plunge. Don't wait 5, 7, 8 years before you get started in real estate investing. It's the number one way to build wealth in this country. It's the number one way to mitigate your taxes in this country. And it's the number one way to build legacy wealth for you and your family. That's why we love doing what we do here. So thanks to everyone. Please check out the book and you can continue. We always answer every question here, even after the show is live. Thank you for subscribing. Yes, Robert Kiyosaki is going to be joining us here on the show August 3rd.
Yes.
August 3rd on our show. We're super excited about that. Thanks to everyone for subscribing. And thanks for all of you for making this a part of your Saturday. We really appreciate it. Much love to you all.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.